You're listening to Ideal Practice, episode number 25. Today, y'all, we're going to talk about how to get your head back in the game and your feet back on the ground when you are totally overwhelmed with all there is to do in the growth of your practice. And I know, it's kind of crazy, isn't it? There's always so much to do, but I'm going to help you out. And before we finish today, I'm going to share with you a cool little tool that my coaching clients use all the time to manage exactly that kind of overwhelm. We'll be talking about that and so much more, so stay tuned. Hi, I'm Wendy Pitts Reeves, and with over two decades of experience in the private practice world, I've built my six-figure business while learning a lot of lessons the hard way. This is the first podcast that shows you how to apply the principles of energy, alignment, and strategy to build a practice that is profit-centered, but people-forward. This is the Ideal Practice Podcast. Hey guys, and welcome. This is Wendy. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Ideal Practice Podcast. Can you believe, y'all, that we are already at episode 25? I think that's kind of cool, and I think that's cause for celebration myself. You may not think it so much, but one of the things that I didn't know myself until I got into this is that a lot of people who start a podcast don't get past 8 or 10 episodes before they give up. And I have no intention of giving up. We are just getting started, and I'm really enjoying it. I'm really excited about where we're headed, and I'm so glad that you are here with me. In fact, it occurs to me that this is a perfect time to ask you guys for ideas. If you've got thoughts about topics you'd like to see us dive into a little bit deeper here, conversations we should be having, maybe even guests or experts that you think would be awesome to have on the program, please tell me that. I have a list all the time, and I would love to add your ideas to that list. All you got to do is send me an email at wendy@wendypittsreeves.com. Just make sure you spell it right, because people have a tendency to mess it up, and I won't get it if you do that. But if you'll email me, wendy@wendypittsreeves.com, I will answer you personally, and I would really love to hear what you all have to say, for real. Now, let's get into this whole thing about overwhelm. Because the thing is, it takes a lot to run a private practice, y'all. It takes a lot to get one off the ground. It takes a lot to grow it. You may have heard episode 23. Did you guys listen to that one? That was just a few weeks ago. In that episode, I talked about what to do when you are drowning in referrals, which is its own unique kind of overwhelm. As I talk with therapists and allied healers across the country, it seems to me that those of you who are in well-established practices struggle with that a lot, right? I think that's a real common thing. But there's a different kind of overwhelm that happens too, that just comes with running a business, period. It's the kind of overwhelm that happens when you have too many things to think about, too many things to take care of, too many things to tend to all at once as you're starting your practice, managing it, much less growing your practice, right? I mean, think about it. If you're just getting started, you have to sort out all those details like getting licensed, figuring out if you want to see people online or in person, finding an office if you need it, setting up your billing and payment systems, getting your paperwork in order, getting the word out about the fact that you're even open for business, getting your malpractice insurance in place, you know, all those countless details. But even if you've been at it for a while, there's the natural kind of evolution of your practice as you start to clean up the systems that seemed fine at the beginning but don't really work as well anymore. You might be fine-tuning your referral process. You might start to offer specialized services or maybe hire your first assistant. And gosh, when you have that person, then you got to train them. What do you do then? So even if you've been at it for a while and it feels kind of like you've gotten over the hurdle of the beginning, there's still a lot to deal with. And even when everything is humming along nicely, but you've got that restlessness that I talked about in last week's episode, and you're ready to grow, Well, then there's everything that comes next, like decisions about whether to build a team, whether to take on other providers, whether to start a YouTube channel or up your game in whatever way you're considering. So, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I have so much to do or just so much on my mind, like a ton of ideas, a ton of opportunities, a ton of, well, I could do this or I could do that or I should probably be working on this, but what about that over there? Sometimes it's hard to know what to do first. It's hard to know how to get started. It's hard to know how to move through being stuck. So I'm going to give you three things to do, all right? Three pretty specific steps to take that will move you through overwhelm and into action so that you can keep moving the needle forward, all right? And the first point I want to make is this. The first thing I want you to do when you're thinking about whatever the action is, whatever the problem is you got to solve, whatever the big thing is you got to do, whatever the system is you got to set up or clean up, whatever, the first thing I want you to do is to do a brain dump of everything you can think of that is on your plate, everything that needs your attention, everything that is like hanging around the back of your mind that is just tripping you up a little bit. Just dump it, y'all. Get it all out in the open. Get it all onto. I've done this a couple of different ways. You can just do this on a legal pad or in a notebook. I like to do it on a flip chart, honestly, or a whiteboard, because sometimes it's kind of mind-blowing how much is there. And then once I get it all up in front of me, then I can start to sort it out. Then I can break it into categories. I can figure out what matters most, what can wait, what can't wait. And I can gradually kind of sort it out into a, okay, here's what I'm going to do now. Here's what I need to do now. So before we even move into the steps I want to give you, I really want you to just do a brain dump and get all that stuff out of your head onto paper so you're not carrying it anymore. Because when it's in your head, it has its own kind of energy, and that really does kind of clog up the wheels a little bit. I think you'll find just seeing it in front of you automatically. I mean, you'll be kind of like, oh my gosh, look at all this. But you'll also naturally begin to see sort of a process. Oh, I need to do that first. That can wait, right? All right. So let's say you've done that. You've sorted all that out. You've figured out what's most important. You've kind of sorted it into a little bit of a do now, do in a little while, do later, right? Let's start with the do now list. And the first thing I want you to do is to define your intention. I want you to break it down into small steps, and I want you to take that very first step. Define your intention. And let's make it as specific as possible. For example, let's say your intention is to grow your referral list of people who will be referring to you, lists of people who need to know about your services, lists of people you might want to collaborate with at some point, lists of people you want to be able to send an email to when you've got an announcement to make, right? Let's say your first big goal, or the first thing you want to work on is just kind of getting your list sorted out so you know who to refer to and how to get referrals from. So the first thing I want you to do is define your intentions. I want you to say what you're going to do. I want you to say when you're going to do it and for how long. So for example, let's say my intention this week is to reach out to a subset of all the people I want to talk to. Let's say I've made a list of 50 or 100 people that I know in my town that I eventually would like to talk to or at least get word to about my practice. But out of those 50 or 100 people, there's really like maybe 8 of them, maybe 12 of them that are kind of what I think of as my A-list, people that I care about the most or I have the best relationship with or people I already know who just, I really need to talk to these people. So maybe my intention this week is I'm going to reach out to that subset, that small list of people, that first little group that I want to talk to. What am I actually going to do? I'm going to write the first draft of what I call a warm letter, the first draft of a letter, my second one in a series of 3 to my A list. Now, I just said a whole lot right then. Now, those who are coaching with me are used to this because we talk like this. For those of you who are not used to this, let me define what I just said. I've got a list of names I want to talk to who I want to stay in touch with. I divide them into A, B, and C in terms of their relevance, importance, how well I know them, etc. My A list are the people who, you know, your immediate colleagues, your close friends, your doctor, the people who really more than anybody else need to know about what you're doing. And let's say I'm going to craft a campaign of, say, 3 or 4 emails that I'm going to send them over time, introducing them to what I'm doing. That's what I call a warm letter. So in this particular example, I'm saying, to work my way out of overwhelm, oh my gosh, I got to write 4 emails to send to 10 people over the next 3 months. How am I going to do all that? Okay, this is how I'm going to do it. Point one, I'm going to define my intention. My intention this week, the what, is I'm going to write the first draft of the second letter in the series that's going to go to my A list. The second thing I want to say about that is, when am I going to do it? Okay, looking at my calendar for the week, it's pretty full, but I've got some open white space on Wednesday. All right, I think I'll work on this on Wednesday morning. I've got a client early. Maybe I'll start this about 10 o'clock. I think I can sit down to write this second email of this 3 or 4 part series at 10 o'clock. And how long am I going to work on that? You know what? I'm going to block off 2 hours. Hopefully it won't take me that long, but I know sometimes it takes me a while to get into it. And I tend to rewrite things a lot, which is actually true. So I'm hoping I don't need that. But just to be on the safe side, I'm going to give myself 2 full hours. So again, point one, define your intention for the action you're going to take this week to move forward in your practice. What are you going to do? When are you going to do it? Like literally what time and what day and for how long? I find that when clients tell me what their intentions are for the week, often they will be quite vague, or it will be something like, I'm going to work on my warm letter campaign. I'm going to reach out to a couple of referral sources. I'm going to perhaps do a little bit of work on my website copy. The more specific you can make it, the more likely you are to follow through with it. And it makes it less overwhelming because it's small, manageable, concrete. All right. So define your intentions. What are you going to do, when, and for how long? In a moment, I'm going to share with you a little tool that my coaching clients use to help them figure this out. All right. So I'll come back to that in a minute. The second point I want you to do, or second point I want to make, is I want you to set up some kind of accountability. We all do better when we have something outside of ourselves to hold us accountable. And what I mean by that, ideally, is that you have a person that you will be accountable with. If I had my way, I would encourage you to do this with another entrepreneur, someone else who is in practice or who has a business of their own. They don't have to be a healer. They could run a hot dog stand. I don't care. But there's somebody who runs a business, so they understand kind of what's involved in keeping a business going. So I want you to, like, who is that person? Who could be an accountability partner for you? At some point, I'm going to do a whole episode on this. But who is somebody else that can be kind of like your buddy, all right? And who is that person? When and how will they hold you accountable, and how often? And what I mean by that, let's make that specific as well. Let's say that you're crafting your very first kind of introduction to the community about your new practice, and your accountability partner is going to be a colleague of yours who is in another practice across town, but you've known each other forever. They are also relatively new in their practice. You're both kind of excited about where you're going, and the two of you agree to hold each other accountable on whatever action you have determined. So let's say for you, it's writing email number 2 of this 4-part series to go down to your A-list. Perhaps for them, it's calling 3 people to set up a coffee date over the next 4 weeks. They've got a different set. They've got a different intention. That's fine. But the two of you agree to hold each other accountable. So remember a moment ago, I said in your case, you decide what you're going to do, write the letter, when you're going to do it, 10 o'clock on Wednesday, and for how long, 2 hours, they would do the same thing. What are you going to do? I'm going to call 3 colleagues. When are you going to do it? Let's say 2 o'clock on Thursday afternoon. Great. And for how long are you going to make those calls? I'm going to spend at least 30 minutes on it and hope I get through all 3, because hopefully I can just leave a voicemail, right? So Your colleague has a goal. You have a goal. They're both quite tangible. They're both very clear, very specific, both time limited. And the two of you say, tell you what, here's how I want you to hold me accountable. I'm going to send you a text on Wednesday morning at noon to tell you that I have gotten that warm letter written. And your accountability partner says, I'll do the same thing. I'll send you a text on Thursday afternoon at 3 to tell you that I made those calls. That's one way you can do it. It can be something that simple. I'm going to send you a text to let you know I've done it. But you can take that a step further. You can set up a time to hop on the phone for just a 10-minute check-in on Monday morning or Friday morning. Did you do it? What you said you were going to do? Okay. Like that kind of thing. Who will you be accountable with? When and how? And how often? Will you talk to them once a week? Will you just send a text when you meet your goal? How are you going to do that? Define your intentions, set up accountability. And y'all, I'm going to tell you that the accountability piece is huge because I have an accountability partner I've had for a very long time. And it's funny. If we don't talk, I don't get as much done. But when I know I'm going to be talking to her, I am much more likely to follow through on the intention I set for myself. That's just human nature, y'all. It's just human nature. We all benefit from that. Now, let's talk about the third thing I want you to do, which you guys are going to argue with me about, and you might think it's kind of silly, but it isn't. This, too, is key to cutting through overwhelm, and that is once you've defined your intention, once you've set up the accountability to make sure that you follow through on that, and then you follow through in some way, whether you finish it or not, I guarantee you'll do something about it. I want you to celebrate your progress. I want you to celebrate your progress. I don't care if you knocked it out of the park, hit a home run. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I got all that done. Or if you barely just got the first little part started, but you did something. I want you to celebrate your progress. And I want you to do this on a regular basis. To figure this part out, I want you to think about when will you celebrate and how. For instance, do you want to do this on a weekly basis, perhaps with a Sunday night review about all that you did last week as you set up your plan for this week? Perhaps once a month, you sit down and spend a couple of hours reviewing the past month before you plan the next. Perhaps once a quarter, you take yourself on a little solo business retreat and spend a day or two at a cabin or an Airbnb or a hotel where you take time to record and notice and celebrate what you've accomplished before you plan where you want to go next. I want you to think about when will you celebrate and how. One of the ways that I love it that I get my clients to celebrate is all of my clients are set up on Voxer, which is a kind of a walkie-talkie app that's kind of fun to use. And anytime they have a win, I really want them to shoot me a Voxer message real quick. They can text it, but I like it when they say it because I can hear the excitement in their voice and sometimes the tears in their voice when they just accomplished something they thought they couldn't do. You can do that with your accountability partner, y'all. I'll tell you one of my favorite ways to do this, and that is with the idea of a Sunday night review or a Monday morning planning session. So there's a little tool that I use with my clients. I call it the Sunday setup. And I want to be super clear. This idea was not mine originally. I've heard this concept from a lot of different coaches that I've worked with over time. One coach I worked with used to call it the Sunday night business meeting. I've heard other people call it something else, but the coach that I worked with that I most learned about this from was Christine Kane, who many of you have heard me talk about before. And the tool that I use is a modification of what she used. And I call it the Sunday setup. And it's where you sit down on Sunday night and you set up your week to come. If you'd like, it's a 2-page, real simple document that you can fill out in about 6 or 8 minutes. It doesn't take long at all. And the cool part is if you do this every single week, for one, you will see how you are moving forward on your goals. And for two, at the end of the month, you can actually go back and look at these because you'll have 4 of them at the end of the month and you'll see the progress that you've made because the very first section on this little tool is celebrations. What are you celebrating that you've accomplished in the past week? So if you'd like to have a copy of this yourself, it has more to it than that. I just wanted to mention that as a place to start. You can get your own copy by going to WendyPittsReeves.com/Sunday. WendyPittsReeves.com/Sunday. And you can download your own copy. You will have to opt in. Y'all, there will be an extra email. You have to kind of go in and say, yes, you meant to do that. So be sure and check that confirmation email. But as soon as you do that, you will get your own access to your own copy of this tool, which I don't often share with the public, but it is something I strongly encourage my coaching clients to use. And I myself do this every single week. Every single week, and have for years. So WendyPittsReeves.com/Sunday. Kind of crazy, but it works. If you'll do these things, I guarantee that you will find that you ever so slowly but steadily move through overwhelm and back into action. Get everything out of your head and on paper, do a brain dump and sort it all out so you know what is most important for you to start with. And whatever you're working on immediately, begin this week by setting a specific intention about what you're going to do, how you're going to do it, when you're going to do it, for how long. Okay, get all that clear. Set up accountability. Who are you going to report that to? Who are you going to share that with when you are done? And take time to celebrate your progress, because that combination, those three steps done over and over and over and over again, is how you move your practice forward. A little at a time, nice and easy, slow and steady, and into success. All right? All right. Thank you, everybody. I hope this is helpful for you. This is literally a process I live by. It's something I do every single week. So I hope it will be helpful to you as well. And with that, I hope you have a great week that is productive. And I can't wait to hear what you have to celebrate when you follow through on your intention for the week. All right, everybody. Have a great one, and I will see you next time. Bye now.